Jesus is the only way to have peace with God. Though there is only one way to God, everyone's journey to Jesus is unique and magnificent. Here is a story of one's journey to Christ, now on Redemption Report. Welcome to another episode of Redemption Report. Today I have another friend of mine who I've been able to know for almost 4 years now, Courtney Porter. She is also a part of an online group that I lead, and through that time we've been able to get to know each other. Her husband and Caitlin and I are all friends, so it's been really cool, and she lives down in Arkansas. So Courtney, thank you for making the journey up and joining us to tell your story today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. So I know your story, or at least I know parts of it. So I'm excited to invite everyone else in to learn about it as well. But I guess a good place to start is kind of give us a little background of where you grew up, kind of what your family dynamic was just in your early years.
Sure. Yeah. So I grew up in Northern Virginia. And it was my mom and both of my grandparents in the house. So, okay. Yeah, pretty normal upbringing, you know, did sports and swimming and, you know, all the different soccer and, you know, had a good childhood.
Okay. Yeah. So what was the first interaction you had, or what was the first time you ever remember hearing the name of Jesus?
That is a great question. So I remember when I was younger, my mom had taken me to like a Sunday school type class. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is boring. You know, I don't want to go. All they talk about is God. And like my mom grew up very religious in the Muslim religion, but never forced religion on me. But always, you know, my grandmother was Muslim, and, you know, they always taught me that there is a God, you know, believe in God. But Jesus definitely was not like spoken about in my house.
Okay.
So I don't really remember, you know, at an early age learning about Jesus. I did come to later in life hear about Jesus and mm-hmm. seek him out and like that. But I was in my late teens at that point.
Okay. So for majority of your growing up years, religion was just something that some people did, but it wasn't something your family prioritized or...
Yeah. Like we didn't go to church. Again, you know, I was always told there is a God, and okay. my family believed in God. They were all grew up Muslim, so, but didn't, you know, force religion on me, you know, wanted me to find it for myself.
Okay. So was your mother practicing while you were growing up at all?
Not really, no. Okay. I don't remember, you know. I mean, I remember my grandmother had, like, beads and would prayer and do prayers. And my mom, too. Like, they would say prayers, but not, like, the typical go to mosque and, you know, pray five times a day or whatever they do, right, with the mats and the, all of that. No, I don't remember that.
Okay. So was the, you know, later in your teenage years, the first time you ever heard the name of Jesus outside of maybe a curse word or something? Or had you ever heard, like, what was your perspective of Jesus early on in life?
Yeah, I really didn't know Jesus very well early on in life. Mm-hmm. Like I said, like, I remember, and it's probably more of a story that was told to me, right, okay. than my own memory, most likely, because it was when I was very young. You know, again, my mom had taken me to Sunday school, probably because that's what everybody was, you know, doing in our neighborhood and in mm-hmm. our community. And I said it was boring and I didn't want to go.
Okay. Yeah, we got a chance to talk to your husband, and he kind of remembered church being that way for him. So maybe that's a Virginia thing.
Virginia thing. Yeah, there you go.
So tell me a little bit about the first time you did hear the name of Jesus. You said it was later in your teen years. What were the circumstances surrounding that?
Yeah, so I was dating someone that was not a very good relationship. And they were Hispanic. And so Hispanic, you know, they're very, their family was very Catholic. And so I remember them talking about Jesus. I don't remember that they would go to church regularly, if ever, that I knew that they would go. But that was the first time that I heard about Jesus. but not in a sense of like the gospel was presented to me in a way and like he was, you know, explained to me, you know, in a good way, like just hearing about Jesus, right? But not like truly understanding who Jesus is.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything being attractive to you about having a relationship with Christ at that point? Or was there anything that, you know, you felt in you when you heard that, or was just kind of like more informational, educational?
Yeah, it was more of, you know, this is what we believe. We believe in Jesus, but really their actions weren't a sense that was like, oh, okay, this is, you know, now being a Christian, what I would say actual followers of Christ were like, you know, like, yeah, we believe in Jesus. We're Catholic, but, you know, we do all these other things that don't align with, you know, what Jesus would approve of.
So you said maybe, if I picked up correctly, maybe it was a little inauthentic.
Inauthentic. Okay. Yeah, that's a good word to describe it.
When was the first time you encountered maybe more authentic Christianity or more of a legitimate relationship with Christ as a part of, and it, as opposed to like just religiosity?
Yeah. So, you know, when I was at a really low place, and again, still in that same relationship, I knew that like I needed help and I needed something bigger. And so there was a Catholic church that was nearby. So I started going there and I joined.
And you're how old at this point?
Oh gosh, I want to say probably 17.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
And I started going to the like the RCIA or the classes where they teach you more about Jesus. Even then, I remember being there and it still felt inauthentic. And I remember that, you know, I was feeling still so broken, but not feeling like anyone actually saw me there. Like being there present with a bunch of other people learning about, you know, Catholicism, but not feeling, you know, like, you know, I feeling like I was alone in the room. It wasn't until several years later after, you know, I had been in more bad relationships and had my oldest daughter, Eva, that I met my husband now, who is, I would say, the first person that actually shared with me about Jesus, the authentic, you know, Jesus that I love today.
Yeah. And what about him other than, you know, I'm sure you found him attractive, but what about Christ and him sharing it was attractive to you?
You know, it was like his passion and how he was talking about, you know, Jesus and, you know, that Jesus came to save us and that, you know, no sin, you know, was too big for him to not, you know, have redeemed us for, you know, like, and here I have lived this life of a super sinful life, you know, how some people go through their lives and they're like, well, I'm not that bad of a person. You know, I was like, I know I'm a bad person and I know I'm a sinner and I know I've done really awful things. So that was like, wow, you know, maybe this Savior, Jesus, can save me. I know I need saving. Like, this isn't a, you know, well, I'm probably going to be fine. It was like, no, I need something because I was missing that just completeness and like love, you know. So just the fire and the, you know, passion which he talked about Jesus and just the him being so different like than anyone that I had ever met before was like I want what he's on, you know, like what is he drinking? I want some of that.
when you see that authentic Christ follower, when you meet someone like that, it is attractive. And, you know, it's cool. Like in scripture, it talks about how Christ encourages his followers to be his witnesses, you know, and unfortunately many times those that claim to follow Christ are not walking the way Christ would have walked, you know, or would have them to walk. And so it definitely, there's a stark difference when you do encounter someone like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So if you can recall, did you have any holdups or reservations before you started following Christ, or was there anything that you said, I had to work through that, or it didn't quite make sense right at first?
Yeah, I would say that was probably what, you know, sparked my interest to begin with. And then it was a journey. And so, you know, I started uncovering Christ for myself and learning more about him myself. So got myself a Bible and started reading it. And, you know, I remember, you know, having dreams about like in my dream one time when I was early Christian, still not baptized, but early Christian, had a dream that said, you know, read the book of Job. And I thought that was super interesting. And then I didn't actually read the book of Job, even though the dream told me to. The next day I had some severe like panic, anxiety attack, like mental attack, where I was just feeling super low and like, you know, just under attack, really, like spiritually, and like almost like a breakdown mentally, but not like totally. It was just very emotional moments, you know, where I'm like feeling distraught almost, you know. And then I read the book of Job, and I was like, wow, you know, it's so interesting to read this and see, you know, just everything Job went through. And I felt like, you know, I was to have read that to be more prepared for like an attack spiritually, potentially. I don't know, of course, right? But it was just like, I just saw God moving. You know, I saw Jesus like presenting himself to me in my life. I remember another time I was driving to work, and there was a, you know, like I'm big on not hitting animals in the road.
That's a good thing.
I guess, yeah. So there was a squirrel that I hit, and I was distraught again. Like, I was really upset. And then I, you know, really thought, like, I saw Jesus there on the side of the road, like, looking at me. And then I felt, you know, not like Jesus, but, like, almost like a light almost on the side of the road. And I was like, was that, you know, it was almost like I felt like Jesus was talking to me. Like, it's okay. You know, the squirrel's okay. You know, he's with me. Or, you know, it's just, again, I don't know if that, you know, I mean, that's what I experienced, right? And so it was like Jesus was talking to me, and I was having a real relationship. Like, I could see him in my life, and just I could point to, you know, story after story where I feel like God was intervening, or like, I know God doesn't have to prove himself to us, right? But showing me signs, you know, that this is the way I want you to go.
So is there a specific time or a set of circumstances that you remember, you know, coming to a point where you ask Christ to forgive you of your sin, to come into your life and save you? Do you remember any specific moment or anything around that?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could say like I remember the very moment that I asked Christ into my life, but I feel like that whole, I remember it was like, you know, March when I first heard about it, and then by October I was baptized, right? Okay. So at some point in that summer, you know, through all these little experiences, you know, and then finding a church to go to, you know, trying out different churches and just still like growing and growing until, you know, and then becoming a member, you know, I feel like in Virginia, it wasn't so much as like the way you know, we now go to a Baptist church where there's an altar call every, you know, Sunday, and you go up and you give your life, you know, and you make that decision. It was more of a in my seat, you know, privately in prayer, asking Jesus into my heart and giving my life to him. Like at that point, I was like, okay, I don't know what this looks like, but I'm going to continue to walk with you and do this journey, right? And figure out, you know, how I can be a better follower of Jesus.
No. It's cool when you have that opportunity given to you on a regular basis to work it out. Unfortunately, so many churches just kind of like give you stuff and say, all right, go on your way. But giving you that space, either through an altar call or through a private time in your own seat to kind of, I've heard it said, do business with God, or, you know, to kind of interact and have that time of reflection when he's working.
Yeah.
That's great. What changes would you say you saw in your life right from the start, where once Courtney was this way, but then once she believed in Christ and started following him, these things started to change?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I started to change a lot, I would say. I mean, different areas, like I'm certainly no way, shape, or form the way I was before, But, you know, starting with relationships, I would say, like, as I would read the Bible, you know, I would read that, you know, I don't want any enemies. Like, I don't want to have problems with anyone, right? So I went out and reached out to anyone I ever had any problem with, you know, and let them know that I was a believer now and I believe in Jesus. And it was like, you know, paragraph. I probably could still go through. I don't think I've deleted any of those. But if I went back to 2012, I could probably find those messages that I sent and that, you know, I'm a new creation in Christ and please forgive me for anything I've ever done to you. And I apologize if I've, you know, hurt you, and I forgive you for anything you've done to me, you know, and made amends with all, you know, anyone that I'd ever had any problems with. So that's one way that I was changing for sure.
How are those received? Did a lot of people respond, or, you know, do you remember any of
those? Yeah, I think a few did, like, you know, thank you, that's great to hear, kind of responses. I don't remember that it was met with anybody saying, like, welcome, you know, welcome to the family or anything like that, because that wasn't the kind of crowd I was running with, unfortunately. Sure. But
well, that's really encouraging to hear that you had that desire to do that, because that's embarrassing. You know, that's not comfortable to admit that you're wrong or to reach out and think through all the different issues that you've had with people, and then to reach out and then put that out forward. So that's definitely evidence of a changed life. What have you found over the last, you said it was 2012, so I guess 12 years, what have you found to be most challenging in walking with Christ?
Oh, yeah. I would say, like, dying to our flesh every single day, right? Like, you know, and actually I said 2012, but it was actually 2010.
Okay.
So, yeah, I said the wrong thing. It was 2010 when... Yeah, I had that first conversation, and then it was the summer of 2010 that I got baptized.
Cool.
So
okay.
I don't know why I said 2012. Yeah.
Sorry. That's all right. No, that's anyway. Fine.
So, yeah. So, but yeah, just dying to self every single day, right? You have to make that choice, you know, and there have been occasions over the last, I don't know how many years that is, right? 14? 14
now, yeah.
Okay. Over the last 14 years where I've, you know, made mistakes and it hasn't been perfect, you know. I'm still a sinner and fall short, but his grace is good, his mercy is good, and you know, I feel like you're never too far gone to be able to make a decision, okay, I'm gonna change and I'm gonna repent and go back. And sometimes that's daily repentance, you know, or hourly repentance, right, or whatever it looks like. But yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, probably.
Yeah. That sanctification process where God reveals and reveals how broken we are. And it sounds like you in the past, you would respond just by maybe going further down into sin or into destructive behavior. But then upon knowing Christ, you know, it was that humility and very, very much evidenced by what you did in the beginning by reaching out to all those people. It's very selfless, you know, humbling thing to do. Regarding joy, what joy have you experienced, or is there an area of your life that you've experienced joy since knowing Christ?
Yes, I feel like I have experienced so much joy with Christ, and just every moment now that I am a follower of Jesus is better than any day that I had before I was a follower of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I look at how much he's just blessed me and my family and, you know, my children, and being able to raise them as believers so they don't have, you know, again, I had a great childhood, but, you know, I wasn't with Jesus. And so even though it was great, it wasn't as great as, you know, my life now where he's walking with me every day. So, you know, every day I feel like that I have Jesus is great. And, you know, my worst day with Jesus is better than my best day without him.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. His presence being there makes all the difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Someone hearing your story, having gone through it, you know, what you shared today, what would be one takeaway you'd want them to leave with?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say, you know, you're never too far down the wrong path to repent and turn back to him, like the prodigal son, right? Even after all of his inheritance was gone and he wanted to go and squander it, you know, he came back, and from a distance, his father had open arms welcoming him back to him. So, like, God loves us and God wants us, you know, to be with him. And so even if you make a mistake, because we're not perfect, it's never too late to repent and try to do the right thing again. You know, one, you know, other thing is, you know, music, I feel like, is really important. When I became a Christian, like, I tried to stop listening to all the secular music and things that, you know, you want to fill yourself with things that are good and pure and right. And sometimes, you know, again, for me, the music I was listening to before was not, you know, it was secular, it was, you know, bad words, things like that, or even what you watch or what you listen to, right? Like, it's important to fill us with things that will honor God and not, you know, just slowly lead us down the wrong path, right? So, like, worship music is big for me. And, you know, I would say that in my early days, also, like, listening to Christian music and only Christian music, like, that was important. So, for any either new believers or anyone, you know, who's been a believer for all their life, right? Like, it's never too late to turn back and repent and start praying and having a relationship with him, because he'll always open us, welcome us with open arms.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely been evident since I've got to know you, that, you know, life is challenging, and it takes time to change. Like, change just doesn't happen overnight. But when you are making those decisions, it makes it so much easier. Like, life is hard enough to do the right thing in and of itself. And so when you can start to strip away things that pull you away or distract you, whether it be music or media mm-hmm. that you consume or practices that you do in life, like right. when you are able to strip those away, it helps you, like you said, challenging part of your day is just walking with Christ. So removing those makes it much easier mm-hmm. to walk with him. So, yeah, listen to things like Song of the Day help you.
That's right, exactly.
Shameless plug there.
Yeah, love Song of the Day.
Well, very good. Well, I appreciate you taking time. I know it's not the most comfortable thing to come and share your story, especially when you have these cameras and lights and everything. But thank you for taking time to tell us about how God has worked a miracle in your life.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Thank you, Timmy.
It may sound obvious or simple, but a life with God must be lived with God. Doing good or living a moralistic lifestyle has little eternal value when done with one's own strength, because all effort is performed to glorify self and not God. John 15 verses 4 and 5 says, "Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me." Over the last several years of knowing Courtney, I've had the joy of seeing Courtney grow in Christ's likeness as she has worked to abide in Christ in every part of her life. Much like John 15 verse 5 says, "I've heard her say the same in so many words that without Jesus, she's worthless. But with Christ, she can do all things through him who gives her strength." I hope her joy was evident to all who listened to her story, as I have been encouraged many times by how Courtney prioritizes her walk with Christ and regularly is willing to make difficult decisions to ensure her life is connected to the vine. Next week, we'll hear from the one who led Courtney to Christ, her husband, Adam, and the amazing story of God's redeeming grace. Be sure you're subscribed and following this podcast, and leave a like so you don't miss any of the upcoming episodes. More content, including the previously mentioned Song of the Day, can be found at twordproductions.com or directly by going to YouTube and searching Timmy Price. That's all for this episode. We'll see you next time on Redemption Report.